There's one thing to remember, as I've told you many times before, what the Lord said. He who has been forgiven much loves much. He who has been forgiven little loves little. You can see just by looking at the timeline with regards to all of the legends that started after the Second Vatican Council, which included that the sacrament of penance was no longer necessary, it's clear that most Catholics do not love Jesus at all. They have a faint relationship with him, but not one of pure dedication or devotion, or not even half-hearted dedication or devotion. Why? Because they don't use the sacrament of penance. He who has been forgiven much loves much. He who has been forgiven little loves little. And so when the Christ forgives us in that great sacrament, it's how we know he loves us. Because he does not have to forgive us. Even though modern man thinks that he must be forgiven, that he's entitled to God's mercy and forgiveness, the reality is he's not. One of the realities of the almighty power of God that is seen for us, because you and I cannot be there to witness the reality of creation. What is fundamental for us to recognize in the fact that God is almighty in his power is that he chooses to forgive us. But he does so because of the great sacrifice of his son, which is why it's an imperative that we think about these things. We're mindful of the great sacrifice of Christ here at Easter. Because this is why there is forgiveness. One can say that God can choose to forgive, but not without the sacrifice of the Son. The forgiveness will never be full reconciliation with God. God forgave the sin of David. God forgave the sins of those in the Old Testament, but they could not be with him in heaven. They could not be with him in heaven. They could only go to the place of the dead. It was not until our Lord's suffering and death, and then his triumph over sin and death allows the gates of heaven to be opened. So full reconciliation with God comes only through the sacrifice of the Son. And something we cannot or will not comprehend, because we live, ironically, in a loveless society that claims it does everything out of love. But remember, if you love someone, you want what's best for them, so you don't let them walk down the road into sin and destruction. You don't reassure them that their sinful life is agreeable. You don't lie to them and say, well, God doesn't mind. So we live in a culture that defends everything it does by saying it's love, but in all reality it is profoundly loveless. It is profoundly self-interested. And so therefore, most modern Catholics cannot understand the beauty of what happened between the Father and the Son in the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary Hill. That the only way we can be reconciled to God was that there had to be an absolutely perfect, perfect victim for the sacrificial offering. Man is finite, and when he committed sin against God, God is an infinite being, not a creature, a being. And he is the source of all being. So therefore, no finite man could apologize to God for the sin, nor could the fullness of God's wrath be subjected on finite man. But because Jesus the Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, is fully God and fully man, his suffering and death is so bad because he actually receives the full wrath of God. The full wrath of God. This is why the scripture tells us he takes sin upon himself. So he, out of love for the Father and out of love for us, makes amends, reparation, atonement to the Father. And he in turn receives from the Father all of the wrath that was due to us, but he could not give to us because we're finite, imperfect creatures. But the Christ, the God-man, is perfect. And therefore, he had to be humiliated in the way that was necessary for the wrath of God to be fully experienced by the Son. And he's doing it out of love. Think of how many fathers are fearful of upsetting their sons and therefore won't tell them something is sinful or something is wrong. They should use God the Father as their example. Men used to. That's when men used to raise men. Now, Too many men raise perpetual boys, and the boys never want to grow up, never want to take responsibility, always just want to have everything their way. God the Father demonstrates what the true father-son relationship looks like. When the son takes the sins upon himself, the full wrath of God, the Father is placed on God the Son. And God the Son receives the wrath out of love for God the Father. And because he loves his Father, he therefore loves us perfectly. And it was the only way amends could be made. Remember, as it is well thought out by the apostolic fathers and others, one drop of our Lord's blood at his circumcision when he was 8 days old could have redeemed 1,000 earths. But our Lord loved his Father so much that he wanted the full wrath of his Father to be placed upon him, because he wanted to make atonement to God. He's not a glutton for punishment. He loves his Father, and he wants his Father, the offense against the extrinsic glory of God, to be fixed, and only he could do it. He had to become man to do so. Therefore, God apologizes to God, and man receives the just punishment for his sins. The utter, total self-abnegation of Christ manifested in the utter and terrible humiliation of the cross. And so the Father communicates love through the Son, and the Son communicates it to us in the power of the Holy Spirit, who spirates from the Father and the Son. And then we consider then the reality of why the Christ does this, also out of love for us, taking the full wrath of God upon himself. God the Father punishing God the Son. God the Son takes the full wrath of the Father on himself, also for love of us, because he wants us to see how awful the power of sin is. Just by looking at his crucifixion, he shows us this is the reward of sin. This is where sin always leads. The devil is a liar and a murderer from the beginning, our Lord said. And every temptation is a lie. Every promise of goodness is a lie. Every shortcut he suggests you take is a lie. And it all leads to the same thing: the horror of sin and death. The consequence, the wages of sin, is death. And so when one goes to confession regularly and receives the Lord's mercy, one is put in touch with that crucifixion. Oh yes, there are those Catholics who take it for granted. There are those Catholics who have the audacity, despite what Scripture says, they'll come into the confessional and say, "Well, you know, Father, I don't have any sins to confess." Well, First Letter John says you're a liar. Holy Scripture says you're a liar. Every man sins. A just man sins 7 times a day. You need to do a better examination of conscience. And you see, that's a key. If you love Christ and you know his sacrifice is the only means to make amends to God the Father for our own personal sins, because the original sin of Adam was washed away at our baptisms. Everything else is personal sin once we're past the age of reason. And that's why our Lord gave this great sacrament for that end, to get rid of those personal sins. But if we love him as we ought, we want to make amends to him. And we want to cover all the bases. Confession requires we experience the humiliation of the cross. And that's why so many proud Catholics will never go to confession, because they're too proud. God resists the proud. They'll never know salvation. They'll never know heaven. They'll never know the beatific vision. Simple. Because it's a mortal sin to not go to confession once a year. Remember the precepts of the church, one of the first one of which is you will go to Mass every Sunday and holy days of obligation, and it's a mortal sin to miss Mass. Yes, the precepts of the church are a grave matter. So to willfully not go to confession once a year, and remember, the church is presuming you've committed no mortal sins, and that's why you have to go once a year for devotional confession. If you don't do that, it's a mortal sin. And worse yet, if you receive Holy Communion and you haven't been to confession in years, you're committing the sin of sacrilege, which the church says is a sin worse than murder, because you're attacking the body and blood of Christ itself, capital I. You're attacking Christ himself when you receive communion, when you're improperly disposed. And that's not just about having mortal sin on your soul. is for those Catholics who have lost touch with their faith, who never entered into the mystery of the Mass, who treat this as routine. They go up and receive without ever meditating on the fact that you're about to receive Jesus, body, blood, soul, divinity. They go up sometimes even doubting that it's truly Christ present. Never go to communion if you doubt he's present. Have respect enough for him to not do that. Never go to communion if you don't believe what the church teaches, because the whole point of receiving communion is to be in communion with the Christ, the head of the church. We can see how easy it is for us to go off course. The Greek word for sin is hamartia. It means missing the mark. That means there's a deliberate action there of missing the mark, not accidental, as too many people want to say. Deliberate disobedience of God is sin. And God's commands are there to save us, not to hold us back. And in our world that is filled with all kinds of different varieties of sin, and now all kinds of different varieties of antibiotics and medications to take care of those particular kinds of sins, they think all this is normal now. And most people think that is normal. It is not for the human person to exist like a beast that is a slave to his passions. But again, that's the beauty of Divine Mercy Sunday, which directs us to the sacrament of penance. Because the Lord established it so we can be truly reconciled to God. We can know forgiveness. So many people think, so many Catholics in particular, think that it's normal to go through your life carrying a heavy burden of sin, constantly trying to justify yourself, constantly fighting your conscience, when the Christ offers you profound freedom. He will lift the burden off your soul, and you'll find a liberty and freedom you never knew before if you're not a practitioner of the sacrament of penance. This is why so many people are grouchy and nasty and mean. This is why you have so much road rage out there. This is why you have so many people just angry and protesting this, that, and the other thing. They don't know God. And then when Catholics are jumping in there, it makes it even worse because they have access to the very sacraments that would make them love God above all else, which will then call them to love their neighbors. And you see how the church herself and members of the church, clergy and prelates and the faithful, all they obsess over is worldly things because they're not practicing true penance, the sacrament of penance. And lest you fall into the trap of your self-condemning Catholic relative who refuses to go to confession because he doesn't need a priest to hear his confessions, tell them what our Lord said here in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven. Whose sins you hold bound are held bound. The apostles were not cardiognostic. Christ is the one that established confession. Christ is the one that told the apostles to hear confessions. Whose sins you forgive. They have to tell the apostles their sins are forgiven. And if they are not contrite, whose sins you retain are retained. It's up to the priest to be the judge. The confessional is a tribunal. You're sitting before the judgment seat of Christ. You truly confess everything. You do a good examination of conscience. You have a true contrition and a sincere amendment of purpose. The grace is going to wipe the slate clean. They can do plenary indulgences in order to avoid purgatory. So consider this dynamic and how the devil is holding so many souls in prison because of their pride, their refusal to go to confession, or their embarrassment for going to confession, or their fear, or their love for human respect. I don't want Father to know I do things like that. The whole point of being a priest is offering Mass first and hearing confession second. I hear them every day in this parish. Well, I'm there every day in the parish, but I don't hear them every day in the parish. Because a lot of people don't come. A lot of people aren't interested. Or it's too early. It's too early to save my soul. I'll do it later. I'll go to St. Louis Berkeley at 11 o'clock. The faith of convenience is a dangerous faith, ladies and gentlemen, a very dangerous faith. On this Divine Mercy Sunday, picked by our Lord Himself, let us first be grateful that our Lord affords us mercy. And let us make certain that we're availing ourselves of it. Why anyone would not want to receive the sacrament of penance, a Catholic in preparation, a Protestant who comes to know of it, none of them would hold back. They'd be the first to line up to be instructed so they could go to confession. Especially when they find out after their adult baptism, any personal sin they've committed is right there, and it will always be there, and it will not be forgiven in an ordinary way until they go to confession, because that's what Christ said here in the Gospel of John. Perhaps it's because so many Catholics aren't living the good example of what confession is, that there are those Catholics or those Protestants who never even think about going to confession. Perhaps we're not practicing enough in ourselves or communicating it as important to the children. The good news is, if you've missed the mark, hamartia, the mercy of our Lord is there. And He will give us the graces necessary to stay right on the mark and to stay true to Him. And He graces us with the ability to love Him even more, because we know how we don't deserve forgiveness, but He gives it to us. And we know the cost of that forgiveness, His horrible death on the cross. And we know the horrible consequence of sin and how it merits us the wrath of God. But because of the sacrifice of the Son, God will not unleash His wrath in fullness on us if we're truly contrite and go to Him through His Son, who already received the wrath. Oh yes, the wrath is coming. And the whole point of Antichrist is a chastisement from God. So Antichrist isn't in control of anything without God permitting it. But he's a punishment that God will send to an unrepentant world so that evil will finally be destroyed. And goodness will prevail, especially by its suffering, since the good will have to be punished because they haven't done enough good to change the world from Satan. Whatever the case may be, we have nothing to worry about if we cooperate with grace, and in particular, if we avoid sin, and when we fall into sin, run to the cross of Christ, run to the sacrament of penance, run to our Lord, and embrace His divine mercy, and then live a life that is worthy of that mercy, never presuming on it, but always speaking of it to those who will be in desperate need to know the same mercy that we have found. Because when we found that mercy, we love Him above all else. And when we love Him above all else, we share Him with everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.